Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on Patriots.com Radio.
Second and goal at the Jet 3. Ready? Inside handoff to Green. Ellis to the left. He's going to go charging in the end zone. Touchdown. And hit at the goal line and flipped up and over. Second touchdown rushing of the game for Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and the Patriots go 77 yards.
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Well, hey, everybody, and man, I cannot believe it is Thursday already. Seems just like yesterday we're here during this time. Well, we were, and the day before that. But welcome to the Pete Shepherd Show here until 6 right here on Patriots.com. Boy, we have a great show lined up for you today. As always, the football fantasy guru, Brian Lowe, with his fantasy football lowdown. We're doing that in the first hour. Already got some of your emails lined up. We do it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Want to email us, webradio at patriots.com. Brian's here to answer all your questions about fantasy football until 5 o'clock. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, I will have Nick Eatman from cowboys.com, and we will talk more about the Cowboys and the Patriots coming up on Sunday afternoon, 4:15 kickoff, right here at Gillette. Before we get into fantasy football stuff, Brian, I got to ask you this because this question came up obviously a couple of times. I think you know about what happened because you're part of the Patriots TV stuff, some of the packages. You know what I'm going to say.
Yep.
What did the Jet individual who was credentialed, I mean, what was that all about? And if that were you on the Jet sideline in New Jersey, what would have happened? Because you guys do the same thing.
Well, we do
explain
have.
Explain that.
Well, I don't know really too many particulars about this. My guess actually is that it's much ado about nothing.
Yeah.
Because I know that there are, cameramen, team cameramen, much like if you watch Patriots All Access on Friday nights,
yeah.
There's special sideline footage that you won't really see anywhere else. And I don't know exactly what the rules are. Teams are allowed a couple of team media cameramen. And as far as I know, that's what this Jets person was. And you know, are there instances where it might be hard to legislate and judge who's doing what? Yeah, I suppose so, but I think it was much ado about nothing.
It probably was, but I'm just saying, right. God forbid, if that was ever you, because I know you do a lot of that stuff too.
Yeah, I'm not on the sideline shooting anymore myself. For several years I was, in more of a media role, but, if it was me, I mean, I know I would only do what I was, you know, what I was supposed to do.
Of course, you're an honest guy. I mean, not like those scummy Jet people.
But I also think that especially, you've got to imagine, especially in a Patriots-Jets game, you know, either team would be pretty foolish to blatantly break rules like that involving video. That's the way I look at it.
Agreed.
I mean,
I'm just saying, if the situation were reversed, I think all hell would have broken loose, right or wrong.
Like,
I mean, you're probably right. It was much ado about nothing.
Right.
It really wasn't brought up all that much, and it's because it happened on the Patriots sideline with a Jet person, not the opposite.
Well, whatever it was. I mean, I think this was a Jets person who was where he was supposed to be and was doing what he was supposed to do. I have read a little bit about it and seen stuff about it. I've seen nothing to convince me otherwise. I think it was one of those that raised eyebrows. People looked into it, and there's really nothing there, as far as I know.
Okay. All right, let's get right into
But it's a worthwhile topic.
Well, yeah, and I know because I know you were involved in that stuff, and you would probably be the guy to go to on that because I know.
Sure.
But anyway, let's get right to the fantasy stuff. Lots of people lined up here for
yeah.
you. So the JC got a few fantasy questions. For my flex spot, do I go Deion Carter from Indy, Ernest Graham, or Bolden? Also, I dropped Cutler for T-Bob. Was it a good move? I think it was. And also, how do you feel about Mike Williams from Tampa and Ocho? Got a chance to pick either up. Thanks, guys. Appreciate the answer.
Well, certainly a lot to get to on that question. I would say the first part, DeLon Carter from Indy, Ernest Graham, and Anquan Bolden. Anquan Bolden is probably a solid pickup, just being a starter for his team. And, if you have a chance to get him, I mean, if he's available on waiver wire, this isn't a waiver wire. This is for a flex spot. I'd say Bolden is probably your guy. I think Ernest Graham is definitely a solid pickup this week for Tampa Bay because it looks like LeGarrette Blount is going to be out, which is a tough hit for fantasy owners. And actually, in one of my leagues, I just traded for LeGarrette Blount before last week. And he he had a terrible week last week, is now hurt, doesn't seem to be a long-term injury, but Ernest Graham is a very good pickup for this week. DeLon Carter.
Yeah, because it's New Orleans, and they do give up yards.
New Orleans gives up yards, and the only good thing about that Tampa situation is I have a feeling we're going to find out tomorrow or before Sunday that Blount is out. Josh Freeman already kind of alluded to the fact that Ernest Graham will get most of the carries. And DeLon Carter, I think, is interesting, too, because it also looks like Joseph Addai is going to be out. But they're playing Cincinnati, which has a very good defense this year, good run defense as well. And I just think there's a little more of a track record with Ernest Graham. So among those, I'd go Bolden one and then Ernest Graham a close second. But I might consider, if we find out that Blount is out, I might put Graham up there. Then dropping Cutler for Tebow, I'll tell you what.
Boy, oh boy.
I'll tell you what. I feel pretty good about Tim Tebow from a fantasy standpoint going forward.
Really?
I do. They have a bye week this week. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's null and void for this week.
He'll be on the opposing side when they honor his team from 09.
In Miami. Can you believe that?
I remember we talked about it on Tuesday. That to talk about irony.
Also ironic. You know, he didn't play much last year, but Denver's first game last year, if you remember, as a rookie,
was
in Jacksonville.
In Jacksonville. That's right.
So, very interesting there. But, you know, I think next week against Miami, he's got an opportunity to have a really good fantasy game. Look at in the limited amount of time that he's had, he's got, five games so far between last year and this year where he's ran for a touchdown and thrown for one.
Yeah, he throws three picks, too, at the same time.
And he throws some picks. I mean, but you want to know something? Listen, Cam Newton is at a level right now where he's throwing a ton of yards, getting a few touchdowns and a few interceptions. Tim Tebow isn't going to come close to the amount of yards as Cam Newton because he's not going to throw the ball as much. I think Tim Tebow is going to have some games where he has 175 to 200 yards passing, a touchdown pass, a touchdown run, and an interception or two. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm not saying he's going to be a top 10 quarterback, but I am saying next week I think he'd be a reasonable guy to suit up, and I think especially during bye weeks you could do worse. I say pick him up. I say there's a chance that he's going to be pretty good.
And the other thing too, which could help him out, is field position, because I don't know who's going to start for quarterback for Miami. Henny's out, and he could end up with some great field position, and you know, have a shorter field, so that could definitely work to his advantage.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, I don't have all of the Denver schedule in front of me here. I just did look at what he's got for week one, or for his first week against Miami. And if you're thinking about the Cutler for Tebow, I kind of like that. I Cutler does not do much for me. Doesn't do much for me right now.
You know how I feel about him, but I actually felt bad for him on Monday night, because I thought he was going home in a body bag. Offensive line.
That was a gutsy performance. You know, it was. And I'm not on the, I think he's gotten a bad rap as far as, you know, the criticism about him and injuries. Like, I'm just not, I feel like with that kind of thing, I need more info. I need to really know the ins and outs of what's going on the sideline before I criticize a guy like that. So I think he's gotten a bad rap, but I just don't think he's going to be a
productive guy. I criticize
him
every week, trust me. I'm not a big fan of his, but I did feel bad for him last night. But it's Denver, just a quick look ahead here. At Miami, as we talked about, next week, and then home against Detroit, then at Oakland, at Kansas City, home against the Jets, then at San Diego, at Minnesota, Chicago at home.
I'll tell you what.
Patriots at home.
It's a manageable schedule. I think he'd be, I think he's a guy who is a second tier, no better than a second tier quarterback in these bye weeks, but he's a possibility. And then real quickly, Mike Williams for Tampa has been very disappointing. They play New Orleans this week. I think this could be a breakout game for him, a potential breakout game. I wouldn't give up on him. And as far as Ocho Cinco, my guess is he will end up being semi-productive for the Patriots at some point this year, but I don't think he'll be. I don't think he's got anything positive for fantasy. I think he's going to have a couple of touchdowns. Maybe he'll have a couple of games where he has four or five catches. I think when all is said and done, he'll be better for the Patriots than he will be for fantasy.
I'm going with Ocho with one touchdown this week.
All right. Yeah. Hey, last time you gave an Ocho prediction.
I was close. He did have it. Hey, just real quick about the injury report. It's out. A new one today. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis did not participate in practice today, along with Josh Barrett and Vince Wilfork did not participate either, and Gerard Mayo.
And for Green Ellis, that's a big red flag because he did not get hurt in the game, as far as we know. It looks like he got hurt. He must have gotten hurt at practice yesterday, a toe injury, because he was limited yesterday and missed practice today. So tomorrow will be the key day for him, and if he's not out there tomorrow, then, you know, get Stephen Ridley in your lineups. Mm-hmm. Get Stephen Ridley in your lineups. I think, you know, the thing about it is Dallas has the top-ranked run defense in the NFL. They've been great against the run. So the matchups this week for the Patriots running backs have been pretty shaky. But the truth is, a Patriots offensive, you know, the Patriots are going to score points. There's no doubt about it this week. They're going to try to be balanced. If Stephen Ridley is their top ball carrier, is their main guy, I think he's a decent flex guy, even with Dallas's run defense.
Yeah.
And Green Ellis, I think Green Ellis, if he plays, he's still a decent guy to start, but, you know, I think that's a scary situation with his toe injury.
Well, speaking of Ridley, because Robin Drake has a question, is there any upside to using Stephen Ridley as a flex option this week? I don't have many options because of the buys, and my only other option is underperforming Mike Williams. Also, which tight end matchup do you think wins, Ed Dixon versus Houston or Fred Davis versus Philly?
Well, Ridley, basically, like I said, as a flex option, yes, if Green Ellis doesn't play. And, you know, if you have the luxury of waiting until 4:15, well, let's see, Mike Williams, Tampa Bay also plays at 4:15. So, I'll tell you what, Rob, you do have the luxury there of waiting until about 3 o'clock, seeing who is active. And I would say if Green Ellis is active for the Patriots, don't use Ridley, use Mike Williams. And if Green Ellis is out, I think you have a much tougher call. And you know, I might lean toward Mike Williams either way because I do think he might be able to break out this week. But Ridley is a better flex option without Green Ellis. As far as those tight ends, I'm actually kind of high on Ed Dixon. He's had a shaky start. I thought he was going to have a breakout game a couple weeks ago because he's had a lot of targets, a lot of Joe Flacco targets going his way. But I'd probably lean toward Fred Davis. You know, better option against Philly. Philly gives up points. So does Houston. But I'd give Fred Davis the slight edge over Dixon.
This one is from Keyshore. It says, I have the following receivers as my startup. Deion Branch, David Nelson, Marcus Colston. I have questions regarding my flex op. Well, I have a question regarding my flex option. Whom should I play among these? James Jones, LT, Michael Bush, Santana Moss, Anquan Boldin. Can you suggest to me whom I should have in flex or if I need to change my starting receivers?
Well, if those three that he mentioned, Branch, Nelson, Colston, if you have to start three, those three are pretty good. They're probably all, you know, top 25 options this week, roughly, I'd say. And then, you know, among these, James Jones, LT, Bush, Santana Moss, Boldin, yeah, I'd probably lean toward Boldin. Don't really like LT, although going against Miami, you know, there's a possibility there. Mm-hmm. Santana Moss, I'm not as high on as others, but, you know, then again, you know, you look week after week at the box scores, and he's a pretty productive guy. I wouldn't put him ahead of Boldin, though. I'd probably go Boldin among those. He'd be my best option against Houston.
All right, let's see what else. We got a ton of emails. Again, you can email us here at webradio@patriots.com. Let's go to Oh, just did that one. Let's see. Here we go. This is from Strippers. Start two. David Nelson versus Giants. He's starting. Colston versus Tampa Bay. His third week back from collarbone injury. Victor Cruz versus Buffalo on fire. Non-PPR league.
Yeah, I would probably say Colston and Cruz are the guys to start. Colston for sure. He's pretty productive, and he's, you know, he's just the best receiver among these three. I kind of trust Victor Cruz is on fire, as he says, going against Buffalo. Buffalo gives up points, and you know I think the Bills are going to run the ball a little more than throw it. I think the Giants might be more of a you know, this might be a game where they try to throw the ball more.
That's one of the games I've circled. Could be one of the three high-scoring games of the day. Patriots and Dallas, that one I have circled, and I have Atlanta-Carolina circled.
Absolutely. Carolina-Atlanta. I had a feeling you were going to say one of those, say that, and I agree. But with these, I'd go Colston and Cruz and sit Nelson.
All right, let's see. What else we got up here? This is from Harry in Vegas. Hey, Pete and Bilo. This week I have a question regarding my Patriots-dominated fantasy team. I have Brady at quarterback, Gronk at tight end, Welker at wide receiver. But the problem is, who would be better to start in their flex position, Deion Branch or Danny Woodhead against the Cowboys? My other question this week regards LeGarrette Blount. I have Arian Foster and Blount at running back. Word has it that Blount won't play, as we're talking about. So you would replace him with Breann Ellis, who I just mentioned did not practice today. Right. Ridley or Pierre Thomas versus the Bucks. I have all three on my bench. Thank you very much for your input.
Well, you know, Brady, Gronkowski, Welker, that's a pretty damn good way to start your fantasy week.
I think so.
And I think all three will be pretty good once again this week. Branch or Woodhead? Yeah, I'd probably go Branch. Woodhead missed the last game. I'm sure he'll play. I'm sure that he will be a factor on third down. But, you know, I don't see him scoring, and I don't see there being huge yardage. I just think Branch has a better chance of scoring a touchdown in this game than Woodhead, and I like Branch better overall. As far as your running back situation, you're in a similar position I am in one of my leagues without LeGarrette Blount, and it looks, you know, like we were saying at the top, highly doubtful that he's going to play. It looks like he'll be out. So Arian Foster should be fine. Green Ellis, Ridley, or Pierre Thomas, I'd probably go Green Ellis if he plays, then Ridley, and I'm really not a fan of Pierre Thomas this year. I'd shy away from him. Yeah. The question is, Patriots against Dallas defense, the number one ranked run D, does Ridley have enough? If he's their main guy, will he get
well,
enough?
And here's the thing, and this is where, you know, my reality and fantasy football come into play. I'm not buying the Dallas number one against the run. It looks good on paper with those net yardage numbers. They played the Jets, who can't run the ball worth the crap, and they played Washington. Their offense stinks, you know, to be honest with you. I mean, they got a couple of guys, and they, you know, San Francisco, I mean, Gore, and, you know, Detroit. You know, I mean, it's not like they've gone up against a team with a really fantastic offense. And please don't tell me Detroit is a fantastic offense, because they're not. You know, they were given that game away by Romo, who set them up in great field position, which is why they came back from 24 down. So I think that, like the Patriots, passing yards against numbers are skewed. I think the Cowboys, I promised you, the Patriots are going to have 100 yards rushing in this game as a team.
Well,
there's no doubt in my mind they
will.
You
know, I'll tell you, I remember it was probably 2009. Pittsburgh Steelers had not given up a 100-yard rusher. They had the best running defense in the entire league. Patriots played them middle of the season. It was probably like week 10, week 11, and the Patriots ran the ball, and they ran it well, and they had well over 100 yards. And so they have the ability. I don't disagree with you on the stats can lie, but I will say
now, Ben Jarvis, this is pending Ben Jarvis plays, because I can't. Right. I don't know if you can rely on Ridley to just go against that. You know,
no,
and do what he did. I'm thinking if Ben Jarvis plays, that's what my opinion.
Right,
is,
and I think if Green Ellis doesn't play, if we find out that he's out, or if he could be active, but not 100%. I don't love the matchup. Patriots running backs against Dallas D. But I do think Dallas's run defense, maybe it's not going to be number one ranked at the end of the year. They've got some horses. They've got some guys up front. Jay Ratliff is an underrated guy. Their linebackers are sensational. I think they're legit. I think, you know, hey, listen, the Jets offense, as we've seen, not very good. Frank Gore had a touchdown, but not a lot of yardage against him. And these were all close games. Yeah. It's not like teams were just passing the ball. Teams were trying to run the ball too. So I think the Patriots have a chance to have the best running performance of any Dallas opponent yet this year. But the jury's out on what Green Ellis or Ridley would do. But if the choices are Green Ellis, Ridley, or Pierre Thomas, I like one of the Patriots guys over Thomas. Mm-hmm.
Emmanuel says, good afternoon, Pete. Awesome show, guys. I got a quick question. I need to start a third wide receiver or running back. Here are my choices. Dez Bryant, Pierre Garçon, or Cedric Benson?
Oh, no question. It's Dez Bryant. No question. It's Dez Bryant.
No doubt about it.
You know, Garçon.
Pains me to say it, but no doubt about it.
Listen.
He's going to make some plays this week.
Like it or not, Miles Austin, Dez Bryant, probably Tony Romo as well, Jason Witten. You know, the Patriots have done a decent job against tight ends.
They have.
So keep that in mind.
Because remember when they shut down Gates and Jackson had a career day, but it was worth it for them. So that's what I kind of expect probably the same kind of scenario again.
I think
one of those three is going to have a monster day.
And Bryant and Austin, they both have had injuries, but they're coming off a bye week. It seems like they're healthy. You've got to start both of those guys. Garcon has been, he's had a couple of decent games, but come on, you're not going to trust Pierre Garcon week in, week out with whoever's throwing the ball from the Colts. And then Cedric Benson's a decent option. I remember we've been talking now for 4 weeks.
That's
is he
right.
going to be suspended?
Yeah.
And it still isn't.
Not yet.
So Benson's a fine option, but Bryant is the guy among those three. No doubt.
Let's see. What else do we got here? And again, you can email us, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. Oh, Tiffany, I'll get to yours later. We're doing fantasy football right now. So those with the fantasy football, this is one more from JC. One more question, guys. Greg Olsen or Hernandez? Best show in town, Pete. Yeah, thank you.
I think Hernandez is the guy, and here's why. I don't think he's any more injured this week than he was last week. And even though the numbers at the end of the day weren't unbelievable for Hernandez, Brady was throwing the ball his way. I mean, he should have had a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
A few others that were, it seemed like he wasn't 100% and he was missing, misfiring a few times. I think Hernandez is going to be a little more involved this week. The ball was going his way. I like him over Olsen, but I think Olsen's a fine candidate.
Hernandez was about a combined maybe 5.5-6 feet away from having an unbelievable day.
Yeah.
A couple of those throws, Tom just barely overthrew him. And man, he had him 2 or 3 times.
Right.
That could have been, he could have had a Welker type. He could have had well over 150 yards as a couple of those connected. So.
Right. And then you think about how it's connected to Brady, and in depending on how your scoring is in your league, that one interception, that could have been about a 10-point difference for Brady's numbers.
Oh,
it would have been, figure 6 points for a touchdown. Instead, you might lose 4 for an interception. That could have been a 10-12-point situation.
I really think that rule needs to be, I'm not just saying it for every quarter, that rule needs to be ratified in the NFL. If it's deflected as an interception, it counts as an interception. I've always hated it. I think it's not, I don't think it's fair.
Yeah.
Especially in cases like what happened on Sunday, but other ones when the ball bounces right in the guy's numbers and then bounces out.
It would end up being a judgment call.
I cannot stand that rule.
Yeah, you're going to have some, then you'd have quarterbacks bitching and moaning because, how come, this one was off his finger? Well, but the guy had to lunge for it. It wasn't a great pass.
Yeah.
Boy, that would be chaos.
Oh, it would probably. Hey, our buddy Poker Mike is joining us on Patriots.com here with Brian Lowe. Hey, Poker Mike, how are you, buddy?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good,
Mike. How you doing?
Oh, I've been better. I have to admit it. It's week to week fantasy football. It can be miserable at times.
Sure can.
And this is my week. This is my week.
Well, what did you what happened?
On Fortnite, it's 1 week you're riding high, beating people up. Following week, things just don't work out. I think last week I ran my mouth about Hines Ward, and look what he did. Look what he does this past week, and I lose by 6 points. The guy played out of his mind. Scores 2 touchdowns. I don't even. He's hardly had a ball thrown his way this year.
Yeah.
And he plays. He plays lights out this week. But it's still early. So just kind of going back to what we talked about last. Well, let me ask you, B-Lo, how are we looking going into week six?
Well, for my teams, I had a shaky one. I barely won one of my leagues, a league that I made a big trade last week, and I picked up LeGarrette Blount and Dez Bryant, actually, among others. Knowing Bryant was on a bye last week, I eked out a win somehow because LeGarrette Blount had a terrible game.
Come on, you willed your team to win.
I willed my team to win. Well, it was as much, actually, the person I was playing against had Matthew Stafford, and so I was sweating out that Monday night game where, he had, I think I won by 2 points or something, one more 20-yard pass, and I probably would have been done. And so I eked out a win, and then, in the one league that I was 4-0, I lost. And that was one where Robbie Gould is the one guy who we still had going, and my opponent had Robbie Gould, and he had two field goals, and so I lost that one by a few. So I kind of had an up and down, kind of a roller coaster kind of a week. It wasn't my best week. Didn't have a great feel for it, but fortunately I'm still in contention in every league I'm in.
It's early.
Yeah,
we got ways to go.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And it's here we are again. And I don't want to kind of just drill what we went through last week, but it's an important topic, at this time of the week.
Sure.
Is the waiver wire, and
no question.
We just looking at what we talked about, the guys that people rushed to the waiver wire last week to pick up, You know, with the exception of Victor Cruz, they didn't really fare that well. You know, Isaac Redman,
yeah,
tons of talk, you know, huge disappointment. I had mentioned the Tampa Bay wide receivers. I actually had to start Preston Parker in one of my leagues.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
Yep.
And another wide receiver that I didn't have a choice to start as my flex in one of my leagues was Jacoby Jones.
Yeah.
And he was a huge disappointment.
Yep.
So
yep,
you can't be worried about, you know, last week, but I just have to say it, and it's kind of making me nervous because I'm falling into this same sort of path here with the waiver wire. If you're relying on these guys that you're picking up every week to win you your games, you're in trouble. And yeah, and I hate to say that I'm in that boat, but I'm teetering. I'm having some tough buys this last week, and this week just kind of hit me hard. Thankfully, no major injuries, but you know, this past week we're looking at it again. You know, you guys were talking about, you know, DeLon Carter. I don't like that pickup at all.
I'm with you. You really have to luck out with some of these. I mean, you know, you get into bye weeks, and there's going to be a few weeks where you have no choice but to either, you know, spend some time and try to swing a trade with someone to make a move, or go by the waiver wire. And, you know, I agree with you on DeLon Carter. We had a question earlier, you know, do I pick up DeLon Carter or Ernest Graham? And I said I lean toward Graham for sure, because it really looks like LeGarrette Blount won't play. They're playing New Orleans, and I feel like that's a relatively safe waiver wire guy for this week.
Yep.
But like you said, that's what we felt about Isaac Redman last week. That's what we felt. And what happens? Jonathan Dwyer has more carries, I think, than Isaac Redman, or is close to it.
I think what's fascinating about this week's schedule is going to be, I think a lot of quarterbacks could be in trouble this week for a lot of different reasons. Not Brady and not Rodgers, and probably Romo will have some kind of a decent day. But Jacksonville always plays Pittsburgh tough. I mean, I still don't know what Roethlisberger is going to be all about this year. I don't know what the hell Michael Vick is going to do. That's a wild card against Washington. Matt Ryan should put up good numbers against Carolina, but he's been a disappointment so far.
Yep.
Eli Manning, again, he should have good numbers, but you don't know with him either. You don't know with him either. How they lost that game to Seattle is just beyond me, how you lose that game. Flacco against Houston, again, who knows? I don't know what you're going to get out of him. He looked like crap against the Jets, and it wasn't because the Jets played this awesome defense. He just looked lousy.
Yeah.
And, you know, Cutler is Cutler, and you know, I probably breeze against Tampa Bay, put up some numbers, but I don't know. I mean, some of those high draft pick quarterbacks, I think there's going to be some fascinating, interesting games this week with those guys.
You're absolutely right, Pete. I'm sure Brian feels the same way here, you know, and
yeah,
even with the byes. You know, I'm dealing with Phillip Rivers on the bye.
Mm.
The guys that you mentioned, you just don't know. You know, some guys just aren't showing up. With Rivers on the bye, I have to, and again, to refresh everyone's memory, I traded away Cam Newton 2 weeks ago, so I don't have a backup. So I'm on the waiver wire looking at the possible, sleepers with the matchups and so forth. And, you know, a team that I really, really like this week is Cincinnati. I picked up Dalton. I'm going to roll with him.
You know, yep.
Not, like, psyched about it, but, you know, again, fantasy football, got to play the matchups. So, you know, Dalton this week, they're coming into form. I actually have A.J. Green on my team. So I think those two right there, playing at home against a team like Indy, you can rely on a guy like Dalton. And I don't even really want to get into this Tebow situation. I know they're on a bye also, but
Brian likes a Tebow pickup.
Like, he could be worth it.
I agree. You know, we kind of led the show. Well, first of all, I love your pickup of Dalton, because I think Dalton is a good sleeper for this week against Indianapolis, getting some pretty good chemistry with AJ Green and the other QBs. And listen, Phillip Rivers hasn't been great for you by any means. I mean, he's had his moments, but when Rivers comes back next week, don't necessarily let go of Andy Dalton. There might be some weeks. It's amazing to say this, and I don't have both schedules in front of me. There may be some weeks where Andy Dalton has a better matchup than Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's an interesting one. And then you were just talking about, you know, you mentioned Tebow, and I agree with you. We opened the show talking about Tebow a little bit. They're on the bye, so it's not as pertinent to this week. But I think, especially next week against Miami, in Miami, I think he is going to have some pretty good fantasy days where he has, you know, probably never have huge yardage, but he's going to have some games where he's about 200 yards, one, maybe two touchdown passes. He'll have an interception or two. He'll also run for a touchdown and 45, 50 yards. And depending on the matchup, depending on who else, you know, you have at quarterback for your team, I like Tebow. I like picking up Tebow for fantasy right now.
I'm with you. I actually, you know what, ad of the week, and then we'll hit some matchups real quick. This kid Battle from Kansas City, I think there's huge upside here.
Yeah.
Another team on the bye, so you can't really worry about it this week. You know, he's dealing with Thomas Jones and McCluster over there, but, you know, Kansas City's coming into their own. They need that spark coming out of the backfield, and I like this kid. I actually think between him, and again, we don't know where Blunt's going to go, but I like Ernest Graham this week. You know, so between Battle and Graham on the running back side, I'd stay away from DeLon Carter. I feel like there was just a slew of wide receivers that kind of woke up this week, you know, a Jason Avant. Even James Jones is getting a lot of talk in Green Bay. I'm not psyched with that pickup. I feel like I picked him up in years past and, you know, after a huge week, and then he just fizzles away.
Yep.
You know, not a guy you really, maybe as a third wide receiver or maybe a flex with the right matchup, and this week actually could be it for Green Bay with St. Louis, although it's probably going to be a shootout and they're going to wind up pounding the ball.
No, I don't know what it's going to be. I don't think St. Louis has the right now. That's a bad matchup.
It's going to be
bad matchup for St. Louis that day.
Yeah, one of the more disappointing offenses in the league. You know, you thought Sam Bradford.
And they've been banged up. They've been banged up.
They've had a lot of injuries. But, you know, I still thought Sam Bradford would be able to cobble together a decent year.
Maybe Green Bay goes into the game, you know, kind of a game they should win, and maybe they kind of mess around a little bit. But that can hurt you, too, if you have Green Bay players, because then they don't put up the numbers there.
Right.
I mean, you expect 40 in this game from Green Bay.
Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't end up working out that way when you expected to win clobber teams.
True.
But,
yeah, get Starks in the lineup. Ryan Grant, and I was actually with you, Pete, and we kind of saw it. He's struggling, and it just Starks is just he's just the monster kind of, you know, looming in the background. And I think he's just going to be the guy. So eventually, granted, the majority of leagues are starting James Starks, but that's actually one of my starts of the week. I just think he's going to have an absolute monster of a day.
Give me a couple of other matchups that you like real quick, and then...
I mean, just running through another guy. I'll tell you, I think the craziest matchup of the week this week is this Houston-Baltimore game. I just don't really know, and I actually have guys on both squads. Mm-hmm. You know, is there going to be offense? You know, these are two pretty good defenses. Schaub's a little banged up. We talked about Jacoby Jones. Andre Johnson is still out. I'm going to put Kevin Walter in that same league as I put, you know, Jason Avant, where they have a decent week. You run, you pick them up, you throw them in, and then they kind of fizzle away.
Which Flacco shows up? Because he's got a little Tony Romo going on him in this year, too.
Yep.
You know, obviously, you're not going to turn away from Ray Rice. You know, you guys have been talking about Bolden. Like, there's potential in this game to have points scored. I mean, it could very well be a high-scoring game, but, you know, I actually picked up Dalton in my other league where I have Schaub as my quarterback, and I'm kind of teetering on, you know, sitting Schaub. I mean, in the end, I probably won't. But that Baltimore defense is pretty scary. I mean, what do you do in that game?
That's a great question. I agree with you. Schaub versus Dalton, hard to sit Schaub, but I'd consider it this week. I'd think long and hard about it because I see Baltimore's defense after a bye week as well, really getting after Schaub, and I do think they're going to give the ball to Arian Foster a lot. I do think Foster's going to run the ball a lot. I don't care who the opponent is. They're going to run the ball a lot without Andre Johnson there. But like we were talking about, I like Dalton. Don't know if I'd start him over Schaub, but I do like Dalton.
That whole Cincinnati team, you know, Gresham, talked about AJ Green, the tight end.
Yeah.
They're even talking about, you know, Cedric Benson doesn't get a whole lot of talk, but even he's in line for a pretty good week this week.
Yeah, all the talk before the season began about, rookie quarterbacks this year, they're not going to do a thing, you know, short offseason, all that. Well, Cam Newton, we know what he's done. He's legit. And Andy Dalton has not hurt the Bengals.
Not
that's for
all.
Sure. He's probably not on too many fantasy radars unless you start two quarterbacks in your league. And I'm in a league where you start two. But he's showing that he's at least a reasonable bye week start. He really is.
Right.
All right, Mikey.
Good talk, gentlemen.
All right, pal.
Excellent.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
We're feeling better next week.
Right, you sounded very down at the beginning. We want to get your spirits back up.
I get into it, but we do. We get emotional.
He was at my bachelor party on Sunday. It was quite funny to watch him. We watch obviously the Red Zone channel was on. We don't do strippers and stuff like that. We do Red Zone channel.
No strippers or anything. We do
cigars and chicken wings and
just eight dudes and chicken wings, beers and football.
Chicken wings. Beckett was at your bachelor.
Oh yeah, Beckett was there. Buckholz was catered by the Red Sox. It was beautiful.
Oh, that's great.
No, it was a good time. We were lots of screaming at the television.
Fantastic.
We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
All right, guys.
Take care. All right. Poker Mike joining us every week, and yeah, he's got some. So he agrees with a lot of what you say.
It sounds like we're kind of on the same page, and I don't know if he was listening at the beginning of the show, but we obviously had the same thoughts on Tebow, and hey, that's great. Love the arguments too.
Oh yeah,
I love the arguments.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, the Tebow, and I think it's a good matchup against Miami this week.
Yeah,
but after that, I still there's something about Tebow. I'm never going to be sold on. He's got a lot to prove to me.
I don't want to make it sound like I'm getting carried away, and I think he's going to be, a top 10 fantasy quarterback all year. I really don't. But I think he's a reasonable guy to add, especially next week.
Next week, I agree with you.
You could do worse. You could do worse.
All right, you can still email us at webradiopatriots.com. Higgy says, Higgy from Hopkinton, thanks for all the fantasy advice. I'm slowly climbing the ladder in my league after a shaky start to the season. Questions for a non-PPR league. Which defense should I pick up this week? Redskins versus Philly. Saints versus Tampa Bay, Cincinnati versus Indy, Texans versus Baltimore.
Well, I think definitely it's Cincinnati. I don't think there's any question about those right there. I think he didn't mention Minnesota, and maybe Minnesota's not available. Minnesota is my sleeper defense going against Chicago. You got to be concerned about Matt Forte, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying Minnesota deserves to be like we're saying with Tebow.
Yeah.
It doesn't deserve to be a top 10, but for a bye week replacement. But among these, Redskins D has been all right, and they'll probably get some interceptions against Michael Vick. There's still just something where I think there's going to be a breakout, sensational Philadelphia performance sometime soon, and maybe it's this week. I don't know. Saints against Tampa, just don't like the Saints D enough to advocate picking them up. But Cincinnati against Indy, doesn't look like Joseph Addai is going to play. It's still Curtis Painter.
You got to love that.
Cincy has a good defense this year, statistically and watching the film. They have a good defense, so I'd go Cincy.
They're going to be the surprise team of the league so far. I mean, short, small step, five games, but, I mean, they're not stoned. You know, they've been winning football games.
Right.
Which of these three is best for a flex spot? Felix Jones, Daniel Thomas, Jeremy Maclin.
Well, got to lean toward Maclin. Daniel Thomas would be very shaky, very iffy to me, because so far he's just, he had one good game and he's been hurt and up and down, and I think he still might be hurt. I just wouldn't trust. I wouldn't be stunned if he's healthy and has a good game against the Jets. I just, as of right now, I wouldn't feel comfortable with him in my lineup. And Felix Jones, I could see him, here against the Patriots having a decent game, but I don't think it'll be huge. I think this is going to be another game where the passing offenses do well. So definitely go Maclin there. That's definitely Maclin.
And then Ridley or Terrain this week?
Not huge on Terrain. The just that Washington, right now it's Hightower, Terrain, and Roy Helu, and Mike, you just don't know what Mike Shanahan's thinking. And right now it looks like all three are going to be healthy. It sounds like Hightower, Terrain, Hightower, just very hard to say. But if it's Ridley or Terrain, I probably lean toward Terrain.
To me, it's when the Washington Redskins, when I think of them, I think of like ugly type football. It just never seems to be. Their games never seem to flow. They can't just, they don't have the talent to just stomp on an opponent when they're ahead, even though you know they're going to mess it up. It's just, you never feel comfortable watching that team play.
And Grossman opened the year looking okay. Yeah. I mean, he looked pretty good in his first couple games, but it's Rex Grossman. They've got Santana Moss. They've got Gaffney. They got Fred Davis, decent tight end. I agree with you. I just don't have a good feel for them. And Mike Shanahan, as far as the running backs, it's a fantasy football killer. Hightower, Terrain, Helu, they all deserve to be owned in fantasy leagues, but it's like none of them. You don't feel comfortable with any of them. So, but right now, I'd say I'd lead toward Terrain if it's between Terrain or Ridley. But if Ben Jarvis Green Ellis doesn't play, I'd probably take a chance on Ridley.
Josh says, a litigator says, Gronk or Hernandez at tight end this weekend. I'm leaning toward Hernandez due to targets and Gronk needing to protect Brady. And then Garcon or Ridley at flex, leaning towards Garcon.
Yeah, you know, there's something to that as far as Gronk. You know, it's two straight games now where he hasn't been a huge factor in the passing game. He gets tremendously high grades from all corners as far as his blocking and all that. Now, I do think last week, apparently, he was really sick. And earlier in the day, and I know he made a comment to someone that he didn't even think he was going to play Sunday morning.
Symptoms,
it looked like
yeah.
It seemed like the flu. So it sounds like he just wasn't at 100%. I'd have to say I'd agree on leaning toward Hernandez because I think he'll be at more closer to full health. He had a lot of the targets going his way. And against DeMarcus Ware and Anthony Spencer and guys like that, I wouldn't be surprised if they need Gronk. If Gronk is more of a blocking role again, I'm sure he'll get passes thrown his way, but I'd probably agree on giving Hernandez a slight edge over Gronk. And it's fascinating that a lot of people have both Gronk and Hernandez on their teams. But, you know, when I think back to fantasy drafts, I personally was high on Gronkowski and I got him in one of my leagues fairly late. But I think a lot of people felt that the Patriots offense would be, everything would be spread around a lot more and you can't overvalue any one of these guys, but they're proving that Welker is one of the top three wide receivers every week in fantasy. Gronkowski and Hernandez have been pretty good as well.
And Hernandez was more of a wide receiver in a lot of people's minds than a tight end anyway. Hernandez is probably a better blocker than people realize as well when he's called upon to do it.
I think he has the capability.
Yeah, but I mean, he's more of a wide receiver, so maybe people look at him. And the fact that, you know, Ocho has been, you know, I'm not going to say he's been horrible, he's been mediocre. Nothing, but he is averaging 15.3 yards a catch.
Yeah, well, it's been funny these last couple of weeks, both the Oakland game and the game against the Jets, his only receptions were like back-to-back within the two-minute warning of the first half. And it's almost, to me, that tells me that Brady trusts him. It really does.
Because he wasn't in that formation against Miami.
Exactly.
So there'll be some progress being made.
There's progress being made. And I think when, you know, the Patriots have the ball at the two-minute warning, and overall this year they haven't been great in that two-minute drill, but Ocho Cinco being on the field when they're going no huddle, they're not doing substitutions. The fact that he's on the field to me tells me that they're getting a little more comfortable having him, having him have a role in the offense. So I just again don't think he's going to have a huge fantasy numbers at all this year. Hard to tell. On this offense in some ways. And just the other question: Pierre Garcon or Ridley at flex? He says I lean toward Garcon. I agree. Lean toward Garcon. Don't love Garcon against Cincinnati, but as of right now, he's been one of their top targets, so I'd go Garcon.
Again, we're doing it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Pete Shepard Show, of course, is Brian Lowe. The B-Low Fantasy Football Lowdown, we do it every Thursday from 4 to 5, and next Wednesday.
I will just say this.
We're going to do next Wednesday.
Next week, we're going to be doing Wednesday 4
we're
to 5
audible.
Instead of Thursday.
Audible.
A little audible, but just so everyone knows, we'll try to make sure the word gets out here on Patriots.com. Get your emails in Wednesday.
And you can call us always on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. And you can Facebook me as well. Another email from Coach Max. He guys, great show. Flex position, running back, Ryan Terrain or wide receiver, Denarius Moore.
Ryan Terrain or Denarius Moore. That is a good one. And Denarius Moore, Oakland is playing Cleveland at home. Wow, that's a good question. I'm kind of torn on that one. And usually when I'm torn, I tend to go running back just because opportunity. You know, Ryan Terrain should have more opportunities with the ball in his hands than Denarius Moore. And, you know, Jason Campbell is okay, but I don't fully trust him.
And also, don't forget the emotional week they're coming off of with Al Davis, and they played their butts off against Houston.
Right. And I'm sure they'll have an emotional week.
And I'm wondering how that is going to – it's going to be very interesting to watch the Raiders this week to see if they can sustain or they're going to be totally drained and possibly get upset.
Yeah,
that's going to be interesting.
And I'm sure it'll be emotional because this will be their first home game since then.
Yeah.
But I'd lean toward Ryan Terrain, although that's definitely a close one, no question about that.
All right, let's take a quick break, shall we? Get reset here. Webradiopatriots.com. You can email us. It's B-Low, Brian Lowe with the Fantasy Football Lowdown. Give us a call also on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Back on Patriots.com after this.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
And back here on the Pete Shepherd Show, and this part, as always, every Thursday, except for next week when it'll be Wednesday between 4 and 5, is the Football Fantasy Lowdown with Brian Lowe, who's in. You can email him, webradio@patriots.com. Again, call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. We do it all live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Again, a lot of, I think this is, to me, this, I think, is the most, one of the, probably the most interesting week so far, like I said, because the quarterback aspect of this, and I'm not talking about the Patriots, Green Bay, or probably Dallas, because I think there'll be numbers for those three guys. But Romo will find. So what I like about it is, I was telling John Rook and everybody, what's great about going up against Tony Romo is your defense doesn't have to be that good, because he will find a way to just throw you the ball when you're out of position.
Right.
It doesn't matter. And I guarantee it'll happen at least once and maybe twice. If you see the way he throws interceptions to nobody, that is around from his team. I sit there and then he'll scramble. Then he'll make some terrific plays. He has got to be, like I said, he's got to be a fantasy football player, owner's nightmare.
Yeah, and as far as the Patriots defense goes, that's, you know, they've kind of thrived on that a little bit. Jason Campbell, you know, two terrible decisions, terrible interceptions, and really, at the time that he certainly had the Patrick Chung one, that game was very close.
Mm-hmm.
And the Will Fork one, the game wasn't over yet either.
No.
You know, last week with Sanchez, you know, it wasn't so much interceptions, but it was three and out. And it was more Sanchez making bad throws, bad decisions, than it was necessarily anything.
Some drop passes. And some weird, the Schottenheimer had a cruddy offensive strategy. I mean, the play calling was atrocious, I thought. Try to run the ball down their throat like some ego thing was stupid. And it seemed like every time that they needed eight, they got seven, or they needed five, they got four.
Yep.
You're exactly right.
Third and eights, and it was a 6-yard pass and a tackle. You know, so that was I put more of that on the Jets having a terrible offensive outing than the Patriots defense. But the way the Patriots are going to win games as of right now is scoring just about every time down the field, knowing that the opposing team is going to move the ball, score some points, but you have to come up with a big play. And honestly, that's kind of how it was last year, too. Nothing's really changed. I mean, that's how it was last year as well. Big plays. The Patriots had an unbelievable, it may have been a record, turnover differential. They were picking off passes left and right. That's what they're going to have to do. And in Tony Romo, they've got a guy to do it. You know, he's a roller coaster of a quarterback, and I'm talking about, if you're a Cowboys player, if you're a Cowboys fan, and certainly if you're a fantasy football owner, he's going to have huge games, and then he's going to have games like against the Jets in week one, the Lions a couple weeks ago, where he makes the critical mistakes, interceptions at the end, and kills you.
And I was talking about this also. Another thing you have to worry with him, and I'm serious when I say this, if he keeps having a couple games like he did against, you know, the Jets and Detroit, the Kitna talk is going to start up again.
Sure.
And Kittner played pretty well. I mean, Kittner's not as talented as Romo. However, you know, you're going to have to go start with winning football games. So, I mean, that could be when that happens, that's going to be like disastrous, right? I mean, if you're stuff like that. I mean, the way Vic's playing too, Vic's got to be careful. I mean, he has been awful.
Well, yeah, and you know what? You're right about that, because with Philly, you know that Andy Reid is certainly not afraid to make big, bold decisions. And, you know, obviously the McNabb one and the Kevin Cobb one, the trades were in the off season. He is not afraid to make a big decision and a big change. And, you know, they're getting close to this season going down the tubes. Another loss, or certainly two, and it's over. And at that point, you've got to wonder what kind of decisions they're going to make. Do they, you know, give Mike Kafka a chance or Vince Young a chance and see what they can do? That could be a killer. And, especially considering Mike Vick was a first-round fantasy guy, maybe early second, that could be a killer.
Todd says, real quick, do you think this trade is fair? I always love these.
Yeah.
Hakeem Nicks and Stephen Ridley for Greg Jennings. Nicks' owner also has Victor Cruz, and Jennings' owner has Hillis, Adai, and some other terrible running backs. Thanks.
Well, you know, Nicks, Jennings, I'd say, boy, that's close to a wash, Nicks and Jennings. I'd say Jennings would be the better receiver of the two, because just better quarterback throwing his way, better decisions. He's definitely the number one guy. And Ridley, you know, it's too early to really say what the 2011 season is going to be for Stephen Ridley. I think there's a very good chance, and I've thought this way from the beginning, from preseason, that whether it be because of injuries or lack of production from other guys, Ridley will get his chance. And this could be the first time, his first big week to get his chance. If I were making that trade, I would side with the person getting Nicks and Ridley, because I think Nicks and Jennings are close to being even. Jennings gets a little bit of an edge, but the intrigue and the potential for Stephen Ridley this year would put me in favor of whoever's getting Nicks and Ridley. So if this emailer is giving up Nicks and Ridley, I say I'd hesitate before making that trade. Jennings is great, but I think Nicks is very good as well. I'd say give Ridley a chance.
The Ben Jarvis thing is, you know, we talked about earlier, and he didn't practice today, so that's why. If he can't go on Sunday, so now, you know, Ridley and Woodhead, I would feel much more comfortable with Ridley back there if Ben Jarvis were there this week, because I'm just not sure he's ready to carry the ball 25 times. If need, yeah. And they may not run the ball 25 times this week. I'm sure they'd like to, but if Danny's healthy, Danny's going to get some carries this week too. Danny's going to get part of this offense again. He's not going to, don't forget about him.
No question. And the way the Patriots run their team is if Ben Jarvis Green Ellis isn't available, yeah, that hurts them. They won't change their game plan because Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is not available.
Mm-hmm.
If they are going into this game thinking, you know what? Yeah, Dallas has the number one ranked defense, but like you were saying, Pete, we don't buy it. We can run the ball against him. Oh, no, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis isn't available. Their game plan will still be, let's run it.
Yeah.
It will be Ridley. He'd probably get the most carries, but Green Ellis would get some as well. And let's not forget, Shane Vereen. I'm not advising to go pick up Shane Vereen, but if Green Ellis is out and Woodhead it plays but is coming off an injury and Ridley is a guy that they like but they don't want to feed him the ball 30 times, Shane Vereen might get his first opportunity as well. So they will still run the ball. And then, you know, a week from now, we'll be talking about Shane Vereen. Oh, what's Shane Vereen? We got to pick him up. but I do think Ridley has an opportunity here. Not the best matchup, but he's got an opportunity.
Well, I'm going to just go on a limb, not a limb, but as far as what I think is going to be the highest score of the day from any one game.
Can I guess what you're going to say? Are you going to say Carolina, Atlanta?
No, I'm not.
Okay, but
I'm not, only because of the, not that there's going to be some point, there will be, it's just the, in Atlanta, I think Cam will have a couple of picks and probably be one of those where they probably could have scored 14 more points, but won't. I gotta go with the Giants and Buffalo.
Yeah.
I think that's game, if the weather's going to be pretty decent, I think that game is going to be, an absolute shootout. But again, sometimes Eli, you know, games that you think that he's supposed to put up all these numbers, and the Giants in general, they're tough to, but I just gotta go by what I've seen and so far, and I think you're looking at a pretty good offensive battle in New Jersey this week with those two teams.
Yep, and back to that Carolina-Atlanta game, I think Matt Ryan's going to throw some picks too. There'll be some points scored, but he'll throw some picks too. And then one other note too, the San Francisco-Detroit game. San Francisco has allowed zero rushing touchdowns this year. I think Javid Best is going to have a struggle this week. Javid Best, people are high on him right now because of what he did the other night, Monday Night Football, had a huge run, huge game. He just doesn't string them together. And I think he's going to have a tough week, Javid Best against San Fran.
Well, this hour flew by.
Always does.
Great job, B-Lo.
Always fun. So, again, next Wednesday, we're going to be doing Wednesday at 4 instead of Thursday. 1 week only, special time. Same place, special day. So I'll be here for that.
Great stuff, B-Lo. As
right,
always,
Pete,
have a good week.
Enjoy the next hour.
We'll
enjoy Sunday.
Absolutely. Nick Eatman coming up from Cowboys.com. And, next hour here on the Pete Shepherd Show again. We're doing it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette here until 6. Email me, webradio@patriots.com, and Facebook me as well, Pete Shepherd, S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D, and call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Rest of your emails and phone calls and analysis and Nick Eaton all coming up as part of the Pete Shepherd Show up next here on the second hour on patriots.com.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go Pats!
I
what?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Goosebumps. You know, someday I'm going to go on the Esplanade in Boston, you know, and I want just me alone, be like one of those old Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Spotlight on you.
Spotlight on me, and, you know, bright lights and spotlights and, you know, maybe, Maestro Keith Lockhart can come by and conduct, and, I would love to, maybe the 4th of July. Maybe I should do that on the 4th of July. Everybody else gets to sing. Why not me? Hey Pete, this is another, and again, welcome back to the second hour of the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com. JC says, at web radio at webradio@patriots.com, JC says, have you heard Merriweather will be benched this week in Chi-Town? Ha ha ha. Just thought it was hilarious. Dude sucks. Not surprised at all. If anybody saw him play on Thursday night or Monday night, you definitely know who he was because all you saw was the back of his number. Back of his jersey with his name on it because he was just getting torched, missing tackles, doing all the same stuff he did here. Just not a good start at all for him. You can email me, webradiopatriots.com, Facebook me as well, Pete Shepherd, PETESHEPPARD. Also, there's an interesting little thing from the Dallas Cowboys. Punch this up real quick. Well, I'll tell you, call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And the headline is, from ESPN Dallas, give me 1 second while this gets punched up, then I'll get back to the emails. Cowboys' Dez Bryant misses hearing. Dallas Cowboys wide receiver Dez Bryant failed to show up for a scheduled Tuesday hearing to settle a $600,000 debt with a jeweler ticket broker. Beth Ann Blackwood, the attorney for Colleyville resident Elio Hunt filed a motion in the court Wednesday afternoon seeking an immediate hearing to settle the debt. Hunt claims that he sold the jewelry and sporting event tickets to Bryant from January 2009 to 2010. Bryant's attorney, Royce West, did not return a phone call seeking comment. According to court documents, Bryant postponed an October 4th hearing to October 11th, but he failed to arrive for Tuesday's hearing at West's office and didn't give a reason. Bryant had wanted to take care of all court matters on Tuesdays, which is the regular day off for players in the NFL, but because he failed to show up Tuesday, Blackwood's latest motion asked for the settlement hearing to be held on any day. Bryant was unavailable for comment. David Wells, Bryant's advisor, didn't return a call seeking comment either. Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. Now, if you think he's not going to play on Sunday, think again. But I just think it's kind of interesting. Tiffany says from Wisconsin, and she's bringing up a point that we talked about yesterday because she was saying that Aaron Rodgers was slandering some people. Not slandering, but getting upset at some comments made about him. So I'll just give what Tiff in Wisconsin said. This is from Pro Football Talk. Ronnie White's post-playoff loss to the Packers, quote, "We are a better team. We lost because we didn't perform at our highest level." Not sure what else Roddy White could have said. Here is Rodgers' response after they won the Super Bowl, after he was anointed Super Bowl MVP and prior to the Falcons game. This was last week. "I just think some of the general comments that I heard that the game was kind of a fluke, maybe. I would just say that you think you need to respect your opponents. We definitely respect the Falcons. I just felt like maybe the respect level, just as far as those comments were concerned, maybe wasn't there at times. Rodgers won the Super Bowl and named his MVP. Why whine about something Ronnie White said after you beat him in the previous season? Why whine about anything anyone on the team said after you beat them? Who cares if they don't respect you? I ask you, Pete, what would you have been this response had one of the Falcons cornerbacks called him an a-hole and said, bleep him? Another thing is stop it with the media would have spoke out if Rodgers were a jerk. Because you know they wouldn't. As long as you are winning, the media is on your side. How long did it take the media to sour on Favre?" Well, Favre is a completely different scenario because he had some kind of massive Jedi mind trick over everybody for a long time. Not me, but a lot of other people. Finally, he still whines about not being picked by San Francisco. You may say that Brady still has a chip on his shoulder that he was the 199th pick, so it's the same thing. It isn't the same thing. Brady has a right to have a chip on his shoulder. Brady was passed over because they thought he couldn't play quarterback in the NFL level. San Francisco passed on Rodgers because he's a jerk. The GM at San Francisco didn't like his attitude. He should be thanking the 49ers for not taking him, but still whines about it. He ended up playing a backup to Favre with the Packers. He's had nothing but great opportunities with a great organization and a great core of veteran players. It would have been bust had he played for San Francisco. It took Rodgers to win a Super Bowl to earn all that affection of all the Packer fans. Trust me, I know Packer fans who couldn't stand Rodgers until he won the Super Bowl. Brady and Breeze are the class of the NFL. Now, back to the most important team in the NFL, my Patriots. We will win again against Dallas. I look for a big game from our defense. And, of course, Brady, I'm hoping someone on our defense steps up and makes a play. I am not asking for the 85 Bears, but the play will play like we had against Indy to go to win last week would be great. Well, let me just comment on one of the things you said about, I know Packer fans who couldn't stand Rodgers until he won the Super Bowl. And you're right, and it was unfortunate because they're all Brett Favre idiots, you know, and joined at the hip and smooching his bum, you know, for the last, 15 years. And that's the problem. I mean, I think Aaron Rodgers, Favre made it miserable for him over there. It was absolutely ridiculous. You know, retiring, not retiring, coming back, all that stuff. So, I cut Aaron Rodgers a little bit of slack. I think he's a great quarterback, and I think he's a pretty classy guy overall, to be honest with you. I know that's one exception, Tiff, right there, and I understand that, but, there have been a lot worse things said by a lot of other players and quarterbacks, the last few years. I can handle Aaron Rodgers. That what he said about that, about the foul, that doesn't bother me all that much. A lot of it with the stuff doesn't bother me. And Brady is at the point now. Brady is way past, having a chip on his shoulder and all that stuff. I mean, he's going to go down as one of the greatest of all time. So, and Rodgers right now is one of the best in the league. He and Brady are right, tied. Rodgers statistically is a little bit better, but not by much, but they are two great quarterbacks. And no getting around that. So, the other thing, and don't forget that Nick Eatman from Cowboys.com coming up on the Pete Shepherd Show in just a bit. I'll have my picks later on, and this could be a tough one. I'm going on back to back. I've still 12 games over 500 my last 3 weeks. which is pretty good. But back-to-back 500 weeks. Let's see. Let's get back to webradio at patriots.com. And this comes from someone. Hi, Pete and Kevin or Matt. Last Friday, I was desperate for Patriots information. So I turned on Patriots Friday for the first time while I listened for about 20 minutes in the morning, and all they talked about was the Red Sox. So I shut it off and said, I'll try again later. So in the afternoon, I tried again because I thought at least the Patriot Network would be for such a big game with the Jets. We'd be getting us fans all hyped up before the game. But no, they were still crying in their beer about their beloved Red Sox losing. That was it for me. I went to the Patriots media site and replayed PFW Playbook and your show over again from Thursday. Even though I had already heard it on Thursday, I still learned things listening to the show and call for the first time. I'm sure other people worldwide did the same thing as I did. This cannot be profitable for the Patriots Network having these talk show hosts on their network not talking about the Patriots. I mean, I would even rather hear Paul talking about his crappy landscaper. Is that what happens?
Yeah.
Or Fred's new automatic flush toilet than yep. those guys you had on Friday.
Yeah, the issue's been for the past several weeks, at least probably the past month, that we have Patriots Friday and Patriots Monday, but it's all been Francona and Epstein and the collapse, and it's really awkward to listen to because, you know, you do have Patriot players being interviewed within these time windows, Pete.
Yeah.
So it's like all Sox, and then for 10 minutes it's like Deion Branch, and then it's right back to Sox. It's like,
well,
it's weird.
I am not responsible for content on other shows. All I can tell you is, you know, I said my piece about, and I'll finish your email on this. I said my piece about how I thought what the Red Sox upper brass was, you know, but I'm not going to talk about the Red Sox on this show for, or the Bruins or the Celtics for, you know, more than, you know, maybe 1 or 2 minutes. I mean, when it's deservedly so. I think what happened to Terry Francona, as I said, was a disgrace. I think the Sox leaked that story. I think their ownership has, and their upper management has a lot to answer for, and is going to have to answer a lot of questions. And so are the players come spring training. But we all know, it was a total screw job by the front office of the Red Sox, what they did to Francona, leaking that crap. And that's it. Now, let me finish the email. Please let the brain trust behind Patriots Friday know if you wanted to hear about the Red Sox, we turn on a Red Sox station. Or maybe they should change the time of Patriots Friday to Red Sox Friday. That would be more appropriate. This way, we don't have to waste our time tuning in. When Ridley came in last week, the defense knew it would be a run and stack the line on him. If he starts this week, the defense will have to play him honest, and that's why I'm predicting a big game for Steven. Thanks, Pete. Love your Pat's loyalty and your hatred of the Jets. You know I can't figure if I should enjoy watching more the Pats winning or the Jets losing. How about you? Well, you know, it's what's it called? Schadenfreude. You know, when you wallow in other people's or other teams' miseries. That's me. But yeah, if you have a beef with those guys about talking Red Sox, well, you call them. I feel your pain. You know, I'm not going to do it, like I said, more than a minute or two during the week. And that's only if it's, you know, because this is a Patriot show and that's what we do. So email me, webradiopatriots.com. You can Facebook me as well at Pete Sheppard, PETSHEPPARD. Max says, how many more Super Bowls do you think Tom Brady will win? Well, I don't know. I think he's got the potential. What's unfortunate is he could have won two others. You know, the 05, 06 year when they made it to the AFC Championship, had a 3-touchdown lead and lost. And then, of course, that little event that happened in 2007 where they had, you know, three miracle plays it took for them to lose that game. I think he will have a great shot to win any year as long as he's healthy and on the football field because he's one of the best of all time. So as I was saying to John Rook earlier in the crossover, I hope people are not falling into the trap of because Rob Ryan coached Cleveland last year and there's some kind of blueprint, blah, 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 blah. And it's already happened. It's happened in some of the Dallas media. It's happened to some of the national media and even some of the local media. They are making way, way too much of what happened in that game because, unfortunately, it was Rob Gronkowski's worst game of his career. He fumbled the opening kickoff, which led to the quick, you know, score by the Browns. And then when the game could have been 17-14 right before the half, instead of ended up being 17-7 because Gronkowski fumbled on the 2-yard line. It wasn't like Brady had this horrible, horrible day. You know, he threw 19 of 36, no interceptions, 2 touchdowns, both to Hernandez, 226 yards, I believe. But it was the Hillis factor. Hillis ran, you know, gut shot over them. He destroyed them. So you want to say the offensive line, defensive line lost that game, the defensive line lost that game in the trenches. Okay, fine. But you got to take into account those were two gigantic turnovers the Patriots had. They also had several drops in that game as well. A couple on third down, if I remember, too, by some very reliable. But I think Welker had a drop that you wouldn't normally see, and there was somebody else, too, if I remember. But you got to take into consideration what happened with Gronkowski in that game last year. I mean, it was awful. And you know, he's a rookie, and that's what happens sometimes. Hernandez had a game like that as well. But those two plays by Gronk, unfortunately, ended up being huge factors in a football game. If the Patriots don't fumble the opening kickoff in that game and march down the field and score, probably a much different type of ball game. And even if they go into the locker room at halftime with Gronkowski scoring that touchdown at 17-14 again, totally different type of game. Butterfly effect in effect here again. But I wouldn't get too caught up in Rob Ryan, who's a very good defensive coach. We all know that. I'm not saying, but I think this is a completely different set of circumstances. So don't get caught in that trap. JC says, some moron on Patriots Monday. Michael Holly said, Wes Welker is in the top five receiver. Absolutely. He says something nasty. Well, no, I know. I heard some of that debate. And I understood where Michael was coming from because he's not the only one that thinks that way. There's other people on other networks talking because Wes is a slot receiver. But to me, a receiver is a receiver. Welker right now is number one or number two, period, as a receiver. I don't care if he plays in the slot or wide out, but you got a lot of these, Michael Irvin types, and I'm not saying it's him, but, you know, who were, you know, quote unquote, those, you know, prototype wide receivers who don't have a lot of respect for Wes Welker. And that's just, you know, it's a subjective type of thing. But Wes Welker is as good as any wide receiver in football right now. Peter says, do you think the Patriots will make any trades or free agent acquisitions to fix their defense side of the ball? Reading up, I saw possibilities to trade their first rounder to acquire Jarrett Allen or reacquire Asante Samuel or maybe Rodgers Cromartie. Yeah, this was brought up yesterday. I don't even begin to try to figure out what they're going to do with the trade deadline. I mean, I'd love to see Jarrett Allen come here. Absolutely. And the other two, and, you know, reacquiring Samuel or Rodgers Cromartie, sure. Those three moves I love. I just don't think you see a lot of blockbuster NFL moves, a trading deadline moves. It's not like baseball or basketball. In hockey, you can trade just right before the damn playoffs start, practically so. So I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say anything definitive because I just don't know what's going on inside their heads. Let's see. Chad says, hello, Pete. I'm putting back on some stats of my points. Let's start with stats. Cowboys rushing attack, 86.826. Felix Jones struggled to stay healthy the entire game. Third down conversions, 18 to 52. Sacks allowed, 13. Cowboys O-line has been very questionable so far. Allowed 101 points, 25.2, 23rd. Rob Ryan's last year's Cleveland game was completely different. Patriots fumbled a ton of times, and Hillis actually ran the ball. True. That's why I just read and you heard my points before that. And then we'll finish that email in just a little bit, Chad, because right now we're going to head to the phones. On the Ace Ticket Hotline, and by the way, you can call afterwards at 508-298-0398. Let's check in with Nick Eaton from Cowboys.com. Hi, Nick. Pete Shepard here. Thanks for taking a few minutes, my friend. How's everything?
Oh, everything is good. No problem at all. Ready for this big game. I mean, this is big. This is big for Dallas. I don't know if it's big for New England, but for Dallas, it's big.
Oh, I think it's huge. I mean, I think every game around here is huge, and this is going to be a huge matchup. Everybody around here is looking forward to it. I mean, it may not be the same kind of Patriots-Jets enthusiasm, but certainly, you know, it's going to be, I think it's going to be, if nothing else, a very entertaining game. Let me ask you just health-wise about the Cowboys, and I actually listened to some of your show earlier this week, and I always listen to some of the people I have on as guests and see what they're doing and reading the Dallas papers, and it just seems the one guy that you guys were talking about that may not play is Jason Hatcher. Is that a huge loss for you guys?
Yeah, he's a guy that's a defensive end that's kind of just been a, you know, kind of just a guy for 5 years and didn't even think they'd re-sign him. They signed him back. Rob Ryan said he really liked him for his scheme, and he's ended up starting over Marcus Spears. He's had 2 sacks. You know, early in the first couple of games, and then he suffered a calf injury, and they thought he'd be back, and he's probably not going to be ready for this game. He's just more of an athletic pass rusher, still plays the run well, but kind of would be able to provide a little bit more of a versatility that, you know, Rob always likes to do different schemes, different things, have his linebackers or defensive ends drop. Hatcher would be that kind of guy. So I think he will be missed in this game, and they're going to have, you know, a little bit more of a run-stopping guy in Spears, and just another weapon for him that they, you know, would like to have out there.
And of course, you know, on your defense this weekend, it's been well documented now about Orlando Scandrick coming back and Jenkins and Newman being together for the first time all season. The Scandrick, obviously, the Scandrick Welker matchup is going to be. People are going to be looking at that, just like Welker and Revis last week. And Welker actually did a pretty good job. But I was listening to some of your comments about Scandrick in the locker room. Is he seemed like maybe I misinterpreted what you guys were saying, but it seemed like you were talking about he might seem a tad confused about the game plan. Am I off on that, or
I think he said it was a head scratcher on the game plan. I think what he meant by it is that, you know, Rob Ryan. You know, what's also being well documented is that they, you know, he coached Cleveland to a win over New England last year. How did he do it? What happened in that game? Can he do it again? And basically, there's a lot of schemes, a lot of different fronts, a lot of sub packets that he's throwing out there. That's what Scandrick was talking about, is a little bit different than what they've seen. He wouldn't say exactly what they're going to do differently. Of course, he's not going to say that, but he did say it's things they haven't seen before. Things that they haven't practiced a lot, just trying. It's going to be something new, and obviously, in order to beat Tom Brady, you're going to have to. You can't just throw stuff that they've used before. So, what he was talking about is just some new things that they're going to implement for this game.
And what I think a lot of people fall into the trap of, though, is Rob Ryan with Cleveland last year. I think Rob Ryan's a terrific defensive coach. This has nothing to do with that. And I'm not saying what he did last year didn't have something to do with it, but I was just going over and over. I watched the game against last year against Cleveland. People have to realize, in both markets and nationally, if Rob Gronkowski doesn't fumble the opening kickoff, which led, you know, on a 10-yard, 12-yard line, it was kind of a pooch kick that the Browns did right off the bat. He actually fumbled. You know, if the Patriots go down and march down the field and score 7-0 there, it's different. But instead, the Browns get it. Great field position. They march in. And then at the end of that first half, with 2 seconds to go, Gronkowski fumbles again on the 2-yard line that would have made the score at that time 17-14. It would have been an entirely, in my opinion, entirely different game. And Hillis, you know, you can say the Patriots defensive line, Hillis ran right through him. I mean, there's no question it got out of hand. But you know as well as I do, Nick, there's like 2, 3, 4 plays in every football game that usually decided. And those two plays, those two fumbles by Gronkowski, and it was his rookie year, and it happens to all rookies, but those ended up being disastrous that particular day for the Patriots. So while Rob Ryan is a great defensive coach and all that stuff, I would take what happened in that Cleveland game and rip it up and throw it in the garbage. It's going to be completely different.
Right. Well, I mean, I think I'm sure if Rob Ryan would come back, and again, I didn't watch the game, but I know that, you know, holding Tom Brady to 14 points, regardless if there's fumbles or not, I mean, that's something that they're going to hang their hat on. And you know, they'll probably try to, you know, they're going to have to do things different. It's not Cleveland. They don't have a Peyton Hillis. They don't have a running game like that where they can try to keep Tom Brady off the field. You know, what the Cowboys do best is throw the ball around. And obviously New England is ranked last in pass defense, but I kind of throw those stats out the window when you're playing in a lead, with a lead, you know, most of the time teams are going to come back and get yards. I mean, we all know that, you know, no one's talking about that really down here, is that, oh, the Cowboys are good pass offensive going up against a so-called bad pass defense. I think it's stopping Tom Brady and trying to score more than they do. I mean, trying to outscore this high-powered attack.
Yeah, no,
I think New England and Dallas are close when it comes to offense.
No,
I think Dallas is good. I think New England's a machine, and that's what they're going to have to to focus on.
Exactly, and I feel the same way. I think net yardage is the most overrated statistic in football. Sure. And that's why I think even though, I don't know if you know, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis did not practice for the Patriots today. That could be an interesting development there. But I mean, I know the pocket. That's just like, I know the Cowboys are number one against the run, but I guarantee you they're going to get more than 60. Patriots will get more than 64 yards rushing in that game. It's going to happen. I mean, some of those numbers can get, those net yardage numbers on any team on any can get skewed very easily in a couple of games. It's still a very small sampling of five games. But I want to ask about. I got to go right to Tony Romo. It's got to be frustrating as hell for someone to see him on a weekly basis to try to figure this guy out. I mean, I see almost every game he's played, and certainly this week I've seen every game he's played all year. I can't figure the guy out. I don't think I've ever been able to figure him out. And what's interesting is, you know, I mean, he makes these tremendous plays, and then there's just times, and I don't think it's all that. You go back to the Jet game and some of the Detroit, you know, I didn't think there was that confusing schemes. I just think he Drew Bledsoe's himself sometimes. It just makes these piss poor decisions.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, as good as he is, he's on both ends of the spectrum. He's not really down the middle. I mean, he's been, for 4 weeks, he's been the talk of the NFL. I mean, in the two losses, it was he was horrible. His two wins, which somehow seem to get overshadowed very easily, but it's, you know, he's a heroic, gutsy competitor that comes back and wins the game at the end, and then he goes back and has the game like he did against Detroit, and it's mind-boggling because it's, you know, you want to see consistency from all players, and that's what makes it tough is, you know, and he gets criticized more than any player, you know, on this team and maybe even in the league. I mean, you know, Deion Sanders and people, you know, backup tight ends in Washington take shots at him, you know, for some reason. And it's, you know, I think people, they expect a lot out of Tony. When you compare a guy to, you know, and a lot of fans, this is what we hear from fans all the time. You don't see Brady doing this, which, you know, he did, but you don't see Brady doing it. You don't see Rodgers doing it. You don't see Peyton Manning and Breeze doing it. To me, what that suggests, these people think Tony Romo is pretty good. Now, is he in that group? No, he's not. But he's in that next group, or you wouldn't compare him to him.
Oh, no
question.
Someone
ever says Jason Campbell doesn't do that. Well, of course he does.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Romo is a second-tier quarterback. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that. And I think there, you know, 32 starters in the league. I think he's probably somewhere between 5 and 10. And that's where he is. He's just, he can be as great as those guys, and he can be, you know, he can be as bad as, you know,
I can't even
think of some of the coordinators.
Michael Vick.
Yeah. I mean, he can be J.P. Losman at times.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. You know, it is a frustrating because you just, nobody likes to be scared. No one likes to be, you know, no one likes to have things jump out of them. They don't want to be confused. They want to know what they're going to get out of a guy. And when you're up 24-3, like they were in Detroit, and most of it was because of Romo, you know, you expect more out of him, and he's, you know, it's a tough thing. It's a tough thing. I mean, to me, if you're going to compare him to any quarterback, and I know he hasn't won the Super Bowl yet, but he plays like Brett Favre to me because 20 years into Brett Favre's career, he's still throwing interceptions in an NFC Championship game to lose.
Yep.
And if you're an aggressive gunslinger, you can't just rid yourself of that. You're going to play that way. And finding the balance is going to be something that Romo will probably go through his whole career. Now, did you hear the quote he said today? I mean, I don't know if that has trickled up there yet, but basically asking him about Deion Sanders, his comments about, you know, Deion was saying he's not an elite quarterback and just a stat guy. And he basically said, you know, Deion is what he is. He, you know, he's going to be that way. But he said, we're going to win a Super Bowl here. We're going to win a Super Bowl. At some point, we'll find out, you know, whose side these people are on when it's all said and done. But then he reiterated again, you know, we are going to win a Super Bowl here. Now, he didn't say this year or next year, but he said we, and, you know, he's expecting big things from this team. That's what the confidence that he has. It's really the first time we've heard him say something like that before. So I don't know. Take that, good or bad.
Well, you know, first of all, you know, as far as he shouldn't even sweat with anything that comes out of Deion Sanders' mouth, because if you have seen the idiotic, stupid things that he said, I don't know who's worse, him or Shannon Sharpe over the years. And so much of it, when I hear ex-NFL players talk, and we've gone through it here in New England, I can't tell you how many times they are so wrong and so off base, and they'll take these net yardage numbers and they will just absolutely run with it for any team, like it's the end of the world. They don't do Warren Sapp, another idiot. They don't do enough research. I'm convinced that some of these guys don't watch enough games. And I'll give you an example. A couple of weeks ago when the Patriots were playing at the Raiders, and I went through the whole thing. I saw every game the Raiders played, every single play, and I knew they weren't going to win that game unless the Patriots absolutely self-destructed that thing. And you listen to the pregame show, and I got to hear, you know, Dan Marino and Cowher and everybody's picking the Raiders as their upset special, and they didn't really have any type of good reason except the Patriots were flying across country. And I was like, what games do these guys actually watch? So some of these ex-players, there's a lot of personal biases in this. I try not to get too caught up in it, and neither should Tony.
Well, yeah, I mean, these guys, to me, a lot of it is, you know, making sure they keep their name out there, you know, so we don't forget about, you know, Deion Sanders or Tinkerbell or whatever we're seeing on these commercials these days. I mean, when you do things like that, I mean, to me, it's clear that, you know, these guys want to be hard hitting and want to say those things, and that's fine. I mean, to say Deion Sanders to say Romo's not an elite quarterback. Hey, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, he's not. But I don't think Tony, he was trying to be respectful towards Deion. You know, he said he's a Hall of Fame corner. But basically, the point is this guy good enough to go to the Super Bowl? And I think Tony just snipped it in the butt and said, we will win a Super Bowl. I mean, we are. It's going to happen. And maybe that's what this team needs. I mean, he's tried to play close to the vest, and he's one of those guys that you listen to for 20 minutes, and he talks, and he really didn't say anything. Yeah. You know, you're like, what did this guy say? You know, and just cliches you to death. And I think that, you know, this is the time he's saying, you know, we believe we're going to do it. And then he also said, bus drivers won't win. Bus drivers are not going to win. You can't just manage the game. If you just manage the game, you'll be average. Yep. And we can't do that. So he knows he's got to pick his spots better. And then, like you said before, three or four plays change a game. You know, Bobby Carpenter doesn't get an interception. And not only do the Lions probably don't win, it's probably an ugly blowout. That's what happens, and he knows that. And, you know, we'll see if Jason Garrett reels him in and changes the way he approaches games if the Cowboys are in a lead. I'm not expecting that to be this week.
My next question to you is about Jason Garrett, and let's go back to the Detroit game a second. Were you surprised with that big lead? And I don't know how I saw the game, but I don't know how often Tony audibilized out of that. But I was shocked that they were throwing the ball as much as they were during that time.
Well, I mean, I'm glad you said that, because Tony does audible out of that. That's something that Tony has the ability to do. And you know, as quick as fans want to say, well, they need to stop that, they need to remember against the 49ers in overtime, the first down run was supposed to be a run to Tashard Choice for 5 yards or so, and he audibilized and said, let's go Jesse Holiday for 75 yards and win the game. So sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. This team doesn't run the ball well. This team is not running the football well in short yardage situations. You might see some stats here. Felix Jones, a nice run here or there. But when it comes time to run on third and one, third and two, third and goal, this team doesn't have the ability to do that. And that's why Vince Wilfork's status this week is going to be huge, because it's an undersized interior line.
He didn't practice today either.
Yeah, and we saw that he didn't practice. So I thought that was big. Mm-hmm. Going back to the Lions game, you know, they did run the ball some in that drive. And the third down, they got intercepted, but you know, it gets third and two. They had to run a slant. You know, Tony Romo's the way that they move the ball, they rely on him to do everything. That's why it's no coincidence that they've won four games. I mean, they've lost two, they've won two. And basically, Romo has won two games for him and lost two. You know, he's the guy that's really having to do a lot of it. And so, therefore, the good is going to be on him. The bad's going to be on him as well. And I think if this team, if they're going to be good, they're going to have to be able to run the ball better in short yardage situations.
there's no question in my mind that Dallas is going to put up some points in this game. And again, I don't get caught up in net yardage numbers, because you look at the Packers have only allowed 1.2 points less per game than the Patriots, and nobody's really hopping on them. And the Saints give up a lot of yards and a lot of points as well. I just think it's such an offensive league right now. It's cyclical. That's just the way the league is. The days of the Ravens in 2000, the early Cowboys of the 90s, the 85, those days are done right now. It may catch up in another 5 years, but right now it's about offenses. But guys like, see if you think this might happen. The Patriots have done a pretty good job at containing the top tight end so far. Although I do think right now Witten's playing better than anyone, even Gates. I put Gates in that category too, than the Patriots play this year. But so I could see Dez Bryant, just like Jackson did for San Diego, get a bunch of yards in this game. But they shut down Witten and hopefully Miles Austin and just kind of contain them a little bit. I think that's the way you're probably going to see Bill Belichick go, is to not let Witten destroy them.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously, Belichick is, to me, there's no better coach in the game. I don't think it's even debatable. And he, this will be the first time that they faced, I guess it's 2007. And I want to say in that game they did a pretty nice job of controlling Witten in that game. I mean, now that you brought that up, I do remember them saying, we weren't going to let him beat him because he had a really big year in 2007, mm-hmm. didn't have a great game there. The key for the Cowboys when they get down there is just going to be, do they get, for any team, do they get touchdowns or they get field goals? And what we're seeing is that the jump ball to Dez Bryant is a play that is kind of starting to be pretty high percentage, almost Calvin Johnson-like, and that, his three touchdowns have been, hey, I'm just better than you, I'm tall, I'm bigger than you, and I'm going to go out athlete you for a touchdown. And so I think moving the ball in between the 20s is going to be something Cowboys will be okay at. And it'll probably include Witten as well, but it's how they score. How can they get points and get touchdowns? Because Tom Brady's going to get touchdowns and get points, and I think that's going to be a key, is red zone scoring, and that's where Witten is utilized some as well. So that'll be a big test match there to see how they stop Witten, and how Witten or how Austin and Dez Bryant. Remember, they've only been on the field together for one quarter this year, so it'll be interesting to see those three guys and Romo and just what the offense can do.
And the other match I'm looking forward to is DeMarcus Ware. I love watching him. And you must have heard Belichick, compare him to Lawrence Taylor this week.
Right.
Or had a lot of, I don't think everyone's going to be, no one's ever going to be LT per se, but certainly a lot of nice things that Bill had to say about him. But I'm wondering, because of the tight end problems that the Patriots caused for everybody with Hernandez and with Gronkowski, is he going to be the pass rush force that he would normally be against some other teams? Or are they going to have to drop him back in coverage because of Hernandez and Gronkowski a little bit?
Yeah,
he might be playing more coverage than normal.
Yeah, that I can't imagine them doing that a whole lot, just because, if you do that, to me, you play right into their hands.
Mm-hmm.
As far as having what your best player on the team does best. If you've got DeMarcus Ware in coverage, then I think the Patriots definitely win. Because then how they're going to get to Tom Brady is utilizing Ware, getting him all over the field. And he's gotten a lot of single coverage this year because of his lining up in different places. I think, and no offense, I wrote a story today about Gronkowski and Hernandez, how good they've been, and they're getting overlooked a little bit because of how great Welker has done and Deion Branch. But I think that, you got to let somebody beat you. And I think if you start getting DeMarcus Ware in coverage, I think that, they'll kind of defeat themselves. So I don't see that. I mean, it'll happen at times. Spencer will have to do it at times. That's kind of what I was thinking. Jason Hatcher, even at the defensive end position, drops back at times. So I think we're going to see everything from Rob Ryan. I mean, as we've kind of heard this week, it'll be things we haven't heard before, seen before. But, I definitely think you got to get, as Bill Parcells used to say, let your quarterbacks throw, your running backs run, your pass rushers rush.
That's right.
I could see them, he's going to have to apply some kind of pressure on Brady.
I just think, again, we're speaking with Nick Eatman from thecowboys.com, and I just think that Romo has got to play almost a flawless game for them to win, and they're going to have to put up 30 to win this game. And I'm just not sure Tony can play a flawless game.
Yeah, well, he hasn't. I mean, he hasn't played one yet. I mean, he hasn't played flawless in any of the four games, and some of it's injury, some of it's whatever, just poor execution. You're right. I mean, that's what the great ones do. Tom Brady's great. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes, and that's what they're going to have to. I mean, you're right. To do that, Tom Brady has to play uncharacteristically poor, and Romo's going to have to be uncharacteristically consistent.
Mm-hmm.
That's for me what it comes down to.
Well, one thing for sure, I think it's going to be a very entertaining game. It's not going to be 6-3. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be some points scored in this game. I think some great plays on both sides of the ball for both teams. So I'm really looking forward to this matchup. I think, and I know that, I mean, even though they're 2-2, I think this is the best team. With all due respect to Buffalo, which I'm still not a believer in yet, I've seen too many teams in that situation start off 4-5, 6-0 and miss the playoffs. I certainly think this is the best opponent the Patriots have played so far this year.
Well, I think that's ditto for the Cowboys,
yeah.
For sure.
All right, Nick, thanks a lot. Well, any prediction on the game? Or are you going to refrain?
I just don't think that I don't have a score, but I definitely don't think the Cowboys are going to be consistent enough to beat a team like New England. I mean, 30 regular season wins in a row or something for Brady.
Yeah, 17-1 against the NFC since 2002.
Yeah, but I just don't see it happening this week. I think Dallas, you know, I think that Cowboys are playing well and have a very competitive team, and they played a lot of the games close, but I just don't see them beating New England this week.
All right, Nick, thanks so much for taking some time out. Enjoy, I don't know if you're coming up here, but enjoy your stay if you are. If not, we'll talk to you down the road. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Take care. Nick Eben from Cowboys.com. You can still have time. I'll do my picks in just a few minutes, but I got some more emails. And let's get to another call here on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. It's our buddy Carl in Montreal. Hello, Carl.
Hey, what's up, Pete? I thoroughly enjoyed the win over the Jets, the balanced attack. The only thing was, unfortunately, was the turnover right before the half.
Yeah, that's kind of sucked. Yeah,
you know, we showed character. We came back. We had the right call on the branch fumble, which wasn't a fumble because his knee was down. And we punched it from there, and the only one play of the year I hope I cheer against the Pats was on that third down, because they needed them to kick that field goal to cover the 7.5. And that's probably the only time I'll ever cheer against the Pats on the year.
I was stunned that line went down from 9 to 7. I think it went down to 7 at kickoff. I couldn't believe it.
I thought the half a point to 7, but I still needed that field goal, and it did come through. Now, I thoroughly enjoyed the Michael Irvin with the Brian Lowe yesterday. Talking about Nate Solder, the tackle.
Oh, yeah, yes.
That was terrific.
Yep.
And I know Michael Irvin's not the biggest Patriots supporter out there, but when he used to be on in the afternoon on the Dan Patrick Show with Rob Dibble, that was some of the best radio that you'll ever hear outside of Boston.
Uh-huh, great.
It was good stuff.
That's terrific.
Yeah, now looking forward to this week. I think this is going to be a great game. I agree with you. I think this is a little bit of a dangerous game. You know what, I think it comes down to, as long as the Patriots, you know, they're going to move the ball, as long as they get sevens and not threes, because I do think we're going to have a bit of trouble with the Dallas, you know, wide receiving and tight end, you know, stopping that offense. So I think we're going to have to make sure to put the sevens up in the red zone this week, no three field goals.
Yeah, no question. I mean, Dallas is going to move the ball. Dallas is going to make some plays in this game. I like with any other team, but they just overall don't have the firepower overall to match the Patriots. Now, would it be the biggest surprise if Dallas wins this game? No. I mean, it's certainly, I think, like I said, I really believe this is the best team the Patriots have played all year, with all due respect to Buffalo. I still do not believe in the Bills yet. It's going to take a lot more convincing. But
yeah.
The Patriots, I think, you know, are just, they're a smarter football team. They're so well coached. I'm a little worried about Will Fork not practicing today, and I'm a little worried about Ben Jarvis not practicing today. Those two guys go out, and, you know, things might change a little bit, my prediction, which I can't, you know, I'm like, I can only do it now on Thursday, which I'll do in a minute. But
yeah.
things could change. So those are huge. And Haynesworth, I hopefully can stay in there and make an impact. He did make an impact against the Jets last week when he played against the run. Dallas doesn't run the ball all that well, but the Patriots are a better team when Haynesworth is playing. So we'll see.
Yeah, definitely. And we say it every week, but I mean, he doesn't get a chance to get on the field much, but I'd like to see Chad Ochocinco finally have like a 5-reception game for about 80 yards, maybe like a touchdown, but he seems to only get a couple receptions for like those 9-yard outs on the sideline.
Well, he's averaging 15.3 yards a catch, but I agree with you. I'd like to see him get 4 or 5 and not drop a touchdown pass. There's no question that I'm waiting. I'm not expecting any 100-yard game, but I'm waiting for a mini breakout game
nice,
from him.
Like five catch, 60 yards.
Yeah, exactly. Something,
nice.
Something. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
All right, man. I'm looking forward to hearing your picks. Good stuff.
All right.
And hopefully we'll speak to you next week.
Yes, you will, Carl. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Take
that's
care, Pete.
That's a buddy call from Montreal. Always a great caller here on the show. I'll see if we can get some of these emails before I do my picks. Look for Wes Welker. This is from Chad. Look for Wes Welker to have a very big game. There's no hotter receiver than Welker right now in the league, and he's coming off a big game versus the Jets. Ware will be on fire during the first drives of the Patriots' offense. It'll be interesting to see if Ware continues to put pressure on Brady, even if his teammates are being overflooded by New England's offensive weapons. Forcing Tony Romo to roll out could turn into big benefits, although the Patriots' defense will never face any bigger threats than the Cowboys' pairs of receivers, so a double conjuncture. The Patriots defense will have another big task stopping the run and shutting down Jason Witten. I don't know if that's such a big task, shutting down the run. The Cowboys don't run the ball all that well. Pete, I'm actually the guy who started the whole Jared Allen frenzy talk the other night. I was joking, but I can't believe out of nowhere NFL Network, PFW, and our fans suddenly come up with the subject. Seriously, nobody talks about Jared Allen. I only hear about DeMarcus Ware, Julius Peppers. Well, Jared Allen's having a great year. He leads the league in sacks with eight and a half or nine, whatever it is. But you are a pioneer, my friend. You are a pioneer. And again, you can get to me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Let's head back to the phones. Here's Sean in Salt Lake City, Utah. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
I have two questions for you. One, do you think we'll sign Welker sometime this year?
I don't know. That's usually not what they do around here. Whenever anybody asks me about what upper management might do for the New England Patriots, because people are giving me trade proposals and all that stuff, I wouldn't even begin to get into the minds of Belichick and Nick Casario, all that stuff. I don't know. I'd be lying to you if I said I had any idea what they're thinking. I just don't. It'd be nice. Of course, everybody wants to see him here. They might. I can't say they won't. I just can't say anything for sure.
Because my concern about it is the numbers he's putting up. If he hits free agency, there's no way New England could sign him.
Well, maybe not. It all depends. It all depends. I just don't ever say never in sports very much anymore, because I've seen what I thought would be impossible become very possible. So I would be shocked. I would be shocked if the Patriots let this guy go. Shocked at any, you know. I think he will get some kind of a deal, 2 or 3 year deal, eventually.
My last question is, unfortunately, I was in the mountains when New England played this week.
Yeah.
And when I was coming down out of the mountains, I saw some Twitter stuff about Brandon Spikes. And I haven't seen anything like on ESPN or anything, but I saw a bunch of comments about, well, if he keeps on playing like this, he ain't going to have a long time in the league. What was he doing wrong?
Brandon Spikes, I thought actually, you know, the last couple weeks, I thought he's played pretty well. I don't know where that's coming from, because he was pretty good at helping stop on the run. Mayo wasn't playing on Sunday against the Jets. I don't know where that come from. I haven't seen those comments. Maybe I don't know where you saw them, but
I can't remember who posted it, but it came out of ESPN Boston.
Huh. Well, I'll have to. You know what? I'll look it up before I do my picks and try to find out. But he's not really the talk of the. I mean, Brandon Spikes' play right now has not been really the talk of the town about what he said or didn't say. I think most people think he played pretty well on Sunday.
And one other question: what did you think of James Hedebu?
Well, I mean, I didn't see him enough. You know, he had flashes. I mean, do you think he had a big enough sample before you can? What did you think of him?
Well, I didn't get to watch the game. That was the bad thing.
Yeah, he wasn't even out there.
I thought he sucked.
Did you?
He got burned by Santonio Holmes.
Oh, he got burned by Santonio. He was.
Seven
yeah, he did get burned by Santonio Holmes.
He had help on that play, and he still blew it.
Yeah, that's right. He did.
And I thought people keep saying...
Would be a better option than Sergio Brown?
There's not. They don't have a good option right now. It's
they're just hoping Barrett and Chung are healthy first off, and Bodden and McCourty and Kyle Arrington stay healthy.
It's rotten apples and rotten oranges in safety right now.
Yeah, it is. No, I forgot about that. That's a good reminder, Kevin. I forgot about that play.
All righty. Thanks. You guys have a good day.
All right, my friend. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. All right. It's going to be about that time. Let me see if we can sneak in a couple more emails, and then we'll do my picks. Erica says, yes, they're making too much of Rob Ryan in the Cleveland game. If you listen to Ware or any of the players, the only thing they're talking about is how much they have watched that Cleveland game. They do not have the blueprint. Look at the Jets last week. They thought they had the blueprint. They were awful. Also, I listened to Tony Romo's conference call you played yesterday. When Brady talks about the other team's defense, he actually gushes about how good they are, and he calls out individual players by name. He even knows about the second-year guys on the defenses that hold it together. Romo said about two good things about the Pats and said he was asked another question about the defense. He said the exact same thing. To me, he sounded very condescending. I'm a big fan of the offense, but I hope the defense plays excellent this Sunday. I think Dallas is too confident right now. You can plan on throwing everything but the kitchen sink at Brady, but you have to go and execute it. I think they're getting too cocky. Patriots 48, Cowboys 21. Tony Romo will throw three interceptions, and Ware will not have any sacks. Well, Tony Romo throwing three picks. That definitely could happen. There's no question. That could definitely happen. Tiff says, hi, Pete. One more thing. Do you watch the NFL show on Showtime? Has Warren Sapp ever picked the Patriots to win? I watched every week except the weeks the Patriots lose, and I have not seen him pick the Patriots. If the Patriots played an exhibition game against a 10-year Pop Warner team, Warren would say, quote, I am going with the Pop Warner team. They'll get it done this week. He says that every week when he picks the Patriots opponent. What a hater. I hope we get a pass rusher in the trade market. I think our defense needs a dependable playmaker. Have a great weekend, Tiff, in Wisconsin. Thanks, Tiff. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Warren Sapp. I thought it was hysterical. A few weeks ago, he made an absolute fool out of himself talking about Romo, and then Romo came back and won that huge game, and they actually had Romo on. We're talking about Inside the NFL on Showtime, the show that used to be on HBO. And it was just, you could tell he was embarrassed by it. You could tell that he was embarrassed by it. and what's this email? And he had no idea that Romo was going to come on and be a special guest via satellite. And it was very uncomfortable for Sapp. It was funny as hell. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is that time for my picks of the week. Wow. What an interesting week of football. Last week, 6-6. Look to improve on that. Last 3 weeks, though, I am 12 games over 500. Not too bad. So here we go. Right off the bat, I'll give you my Patriots pick and my miraculous pick of the week, the one I think is going to be the best at the end. So here we go. First off, Green Bay is home to the Packers at Lambeau Field against St. Louis. I love the Packers here. Lay the 14.5. I know it's a big number, but I think St. Louis is really, really struggling right now. And I always talk about double-digit numbers, but the Packers have covered them a couple times this year. I think they're at home. I think they're going to beat up on St. Louis pretty good. Green Bay gets the call. Pittsburgh is home 12-point favorites at home against Jacksonville. Still not sold on what Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers are. Yes, they played well last week. Jacksonville, though, I don't care what their record is, always seems to play this team tough. You're going to make the 12 here with Jacksonville. Jacksonville plus 12 gets the call. The Nightmare Squad. Yes, the Eagles of Philadelphia. Somehow, they're 1.5-point favorites at Washington. And I like that pick. I like that they're favorites. They should be. I'm not sold on the Washington Redskins. I keep picking Philadelphia. Last week was a disgrace. Michael Vick continues to embarrass himself in the league by doing what he does, which is throwing interceptions all over the place. The defense is looking for psychological help. They got all sorts of stuff going on in Philly. But I don't care. I think Michael Vick and the Eagles are due to break out. This might be the game. I know it's in a tough environment in Washington, FedEx Field, but I'm taking the Eagles minus 1.5 in a big dogfight. But Philadelphia will win. But I'm bummed. Detroit, we'll get to that game afterwards. Atlanta is home against Carolina. Interesting spot here for the Falcons. They looked okay in the first quarter on Sunday night and then fell apart, it seemed. But I got to like the Falcons here, minus 4. They are due for a bust-out game. I know Cam Newton's playing well for Carolina. I got to like the Falcons here. Probably a very high-scoring game, but the Falcons minus 4. They get the call. Cincinnati is getting 7 at home against Indianapolis. Let's not go crazy with the Bungles just yet.
You never know when they might be too stoned to play. 7 points to me is way too much. I think the Bungles win the game, but Indianapolis covers plus 7. I like that right there. The Giants are at home, 3-point favorites against Buffalo. Another interesting matchup here. I think this could be one of the highest scoring games of the day. You can't figure out the Giants. I don't know what to make of them. But I do know this. They really have to win this game on Sunday. And Buffalo, I am still not a firm believer. They still have more to prove to me. Michael Vick gave them that game last week. I'm going with the Giants here, -3, to beat Buffalo by about 6 to 7 points, which should be a high-scoring game. Next up, Baltimore's home. 8-point favorites against Houston. Houston, interesting matchup here. I'm taking the points with this one. I think the Texans are going to come out fighting. I'm not sure what you have. I mean, Flacco has shown flashes. He's also been horrible. It's going to be an interesting game here. I think this game, 8 points, is way too much. I like Texans to cover the 8 in this one. The Raiders are home. The Raiders are home. 6.5-point favorite against Cleveland, coming off a very emotional win against Houston. But I like the Raiders to keep it going here. Al Davis, they're going to do another tribute to him, I'm sure. It's the first home game since the legendary pioneer Al Davis passed away. Oakland -6.5, they get the call. New Orleans is on the road against Tampa Bay. I don't like the Saints in this spot. Tough for me to pick against them ever because I really love their offense, the way they throw the ball around. Tampa Bay embarrassed thoroughly last week, as I told you they probably would be, flying cross-country to San Francisco. I like the Buccaneers to bounce back big time in this one. It's not, and they upset New Orleans. I think they win the game outright. Tampa Bay +4.5 at home. They get the call. The Bears with Cutler, who should be in a hospital or a morgue after what that offensive line did to him.
The Bears.
They are home against the Minnesota Vikings. I don't know. This is a tough one to call. I'll take the Bears at home -3. The Bears have got to stay in this. They got to win this game or they might be done for the year. Bears -3. Monday night, Jets are in Miami. Who's going to play quarterback for Miami? Flip a coin. You got to figure. Oh, no, this is in New York. This is at the Jets. This is at the Jets. So you got to figure. I got to like the Jets in this spot. I hate to do it, but I got to pick the Jets -7 here because this is almost a must-win game for them. It really is. If they lose 4 in a row, oh, boy, I hope I'm so wrong in this. I hope Miami somehow gives them the game. They've played them tough over the years. They have, but Henny's not there. I think it's going to be a tough game. Now on to the Patriots and the Dallas Cowboys. I've given you all my reasons this week about I think it's going to be close for a while. You know the reasons why. I'm not going to go over them again. It's just too much Tom Brady. It's too much offense. Patriots 34, Cowboys 24. Patriots win by 10. It should be a very close, entertaining game for a while, but in the end, Romo will screw up. There's no doubt about it. It may even be in the beginning Romo screws up, but in the end, it'll be Tom Brady and company victorious here. Proved to 18-1 against the NFC since 2002 and 20 straight home wins in the regular season. And now it's time for my miraculous Meat Shepherd's
now,
miraculous.
It's time for Pete the Meat Shepherd's Monster Lock.
Here it
of
is.
The week.
Tough one last week. My first loss of the year. I'm 4-1 so far. Tough because the Eagles just absolutely sucked against Buffalo, especially late in that game. Michael Vick was terrible. It's a game that Philly should have won by a couple of touchdowns, but they didn't. But I got to go with the Detroit Lions this week, -4 against San Francisco. I still don't know what you have completely in the Detroit Lions, but 4 points here. I think that's a good number. San Fran coming off a big win against Tampa Bay at home. Now they're going to go on the road to Detroit, a very hostile environment. I'm going to go with the Lions here, a team that I did pick to make the playoffs in the beginning of the season. I'm taking Detroit -4 over San Francisco. That is my miraculous pick of the week. Thanks to everybody who emailed and called in this week. Thanks to Nick Eatman of the Cowboys. Thanks to B-Low, Brian Lowe, earlier today on the with the Fantasy Football Lowdown. Have a great and safe rest of your week. Again, final score for me, Patriots 34, Cowboys 24. Have a great and safe rest of your week, everybody. Enjoy your football. Thanks to Kevin Collins for producing this whole thing. We'll talk to you on Tuesday at 4 o'clock right here on Patriots.com.